XEO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Just hours before President Trump's new tariffs were set to take effect, he announced a new higher round on many countries that'll kick in next Thursday. Business analyst Jill Schlesinger.
The tariff on goods from China remains at around 40%, and President Trump signed a separate executive order raising the tariff on imports from Canada to 35% immediately.
Still no word on a motive, but a 28-year-old teacher has confessed to killing a husband and wife at an Arkansas state park while they were hiking with their two young daughters, State Police Colonel Mike Hager.
We do believe he acted alone. We have absolutely no reason to believe that there's any one else involved.
Deadly flooding swept the Northeast. This driver had to stop near Baltimore.
I never seen it like this before. Once I came across that railroad track and got here, I figured I could keep going, but I couldn't.
A 13-year-old died when he was swept into a drain pipe in Maryland. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WXCO News, I'm Melissa Kay. The Wood County Sheriff's Department is again warning of a man calling residents and claiming to be from the Wood County Sheriff's Office. The caller is advising people that they failed to appear in court and will be arrested. If you receive a call like this, do not give out any personal information. It's best to hang up and call the Sheriff's Department to report the call at their non-emergency number, 715-421-8700. The Marshfield Police Department issued a warning yesterday of scammers writing worthless checks to purchase vehicles. Since then, the department has made contact with one of the individuals involved in the incident that happened on June 28th at Wheeler's of Marshfield. Corey Aaron Berendez, age 27, has been cleared from the investigation. The original report said Berendez accompanied 48-year-old Jamie Sue Wolbing for a vehicle purchase with a $60,000 check. The check bounced back as NSF. Berendez returned the vehicle, but the dealership found parts were missing, and the police department said the missing parts were sold. They claim it's possible the woman, Jamie Sue Wolbing, is involved with similar scams throughout the state. Wolbing may also be using the last names of Boring, Reitmeier, or any combination of the three. If you have any information, you can contact the Marshfield Police Department. Republican state lawmakers are circulating legislation that would make it easier for parents to opt their children out of vaccine requirements for school and child care centers. The proposed legislation would not make changes to current state law, but aims to inform parents of their right to waive the requirements for their child. The current state law allows parents to submit a written statement waiving the requirement for medical, religious, or personal reasons. Vaccination rates for Wisconsin children have been declining since the COVID-19 pandemic. I'm Melissa Kay for WXCO News.
The Packers prepare for family night. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Green Bay with another practice in pads before tomorrow night's family night inside Lambeau Field. On defense, it appears that Keyshawn Nixon and newcomer Nate Hobbs are in the lead as the two defensive backs at corner. Baseball, the Brewers against the Nationals tonight in Washington, D.C. Jose Quintana against the Nationals left-hander Mitchell Parker. The Brewers making some moves before the trade deadline, including sending pitcher Nestor Cortez to San Diego for outfielder Brandon Lockride. It looks like Jackson Churio will be out for a while with a hamstring injury. Pat Murphy.
Yeah, I mean, we're hanging in there. That's all there's to it. We've been injured all year long, whether it's, you know, the guys that the 12 pitchers that weren't available when we started, you know, the Mitchell, the Perkins, the guys we've been without. We're out with Sal for a while. Hopefully we're not without Churio. You know, like all that stuff.
That's the Brewers manager, Pat Murphy, with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We are going to have more of that smoky haze from those Canadian wildfires here this afternoon. Otherwise, it's going to be mostly sunny with a high in the mid to upper 70s this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We'll drop down into the 50s tomorrow, mostly sunny, with a high in the upper 70s to low 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 46.
where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Maggie Dawn.
Well, I'm off taking the best Wisconsin Northwoods has to offer. We've got you covered everywhere in the state. Enjoy highlights from recent shows and don't miss your chance to win tickets to see the Red Hot Brewers with Free Ticket Friday.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio WXCO, home of the Big High School Sports Show.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Hey, it's 7:06. It's a Friday morning. It is the first day of August, 2025. Welcome to the dog days of summer. I'm Pat Kreitlow up here in Chippewa Falls. Parker Olson produces our little festival of radio down at Madison Studio A2, and Brittany Merlot will have our forecast in just a bit. Coming up this hour yet, we'll have our Week in Review panel, Jennifer Scholze, Mark Jacob, Jim Santel. Next hour, we'll be talking to Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. She will be talking about her decision to run for governor, talk about her background as a nurse and as a healthcare leader before deciding to run for a seat in the legislature. We'll ask her what prompted that. Had something to do with the way the pandemic was being handled by certain politicians, and what she would do if she were to be elected governor of the state of Wisconsin in November of next year. So that is all coming up 1 hour from now. Dr. Kristen Lyerly will be along next hour as well. Mike Clemens will have sports. We've got the Packer training camp. We've got the Brewers with a big series against the Washington Nationals this weekend in the nation's capital, which reminds me, it's Free Ticket Friday. This is your chance to win a 4-pack of tickets to a Brewers game. All you have to do is listen, get our keyword, use that Civic Media app, and text that keyword to us before the end of the show at 9 a.m. You'll be entered in a statewide contest for 4 tickets to see the Brewers-Mets game next Friday evening, August 8th. You have to be able to receive and use electronic tickets on your phone. And again, you need to text us this keyword, FLY. FLY, F-L-Y. Just text that. Don't text anything else. Just text that and you'll get into a drawing for a 4-pack of club-level seats. Remember, you can get the Civic Media app at the Apple or Google stores. Find the station, use the text button, and listen throughout the day. More chances to win. After all, last week's winner, Jim at Brookfield, listened to and got 4 different keywords. And I have no idea which keyword was the one that was pulled that made him a winner. But I'm taking credit for it. Because, you know, who's going to stop me? On the text line, oh, look, it's Jim in Brookfield. Congratulations, Pat, on 3 successful years on Civic Media. You've provided common sense and a voice of reason in this unstable world of media that we have today. Many more years to come. Thank you, Jim. Yes, we started this as Up North News Radio 3 years ago today, August 1st of 2022, as an 8 to 11 in the morning show. Shortly thereafter, we moved to 6 to 8 in the morning, and now recently 6 to 9 a.m., and it's been a heck of a lot of fun for all 614 shows all this time. Only 614. Brittany feels like it's been 1,000 or more, but she keeps coming back for more, and we appreciate every little bit of it. How's Brittany today?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm good, except that, I mean, there's no way to sugarcoat it. This smoke is a downer. It just is. Yeah. It's a buzzkill. And not just from the, you know, the psychological aspect, you know, it's like a fog that never lifts. But if you have to go outside at all, Even if you're young and healthy, you feel it right away in your eyes or someplace. And so it's a reminder that it's more than a nuisance. It's something to take seriously.
It really is. I mean, we've got this wildfire particles that have maxed out. I mean, yesterday morning, early in the morning, Door County areas far northeast in the state, your particles were at about 225. That is very unhealthy levels. We were the worst pollution, you know, air pollution in the world yesterday. That even leaked down towards Milwaukee. Madison felt that as well. Just that nasty, nasty haze blocking the sunshine. It was actually clear skies yesterday, but you could barely see it in a lot of places because it looked like a fog, just a, you know, kind of a thin overcast blocking that sunshine. And a lot of people are kind of getting fed up because it's not the conditions to open up the windows and get some free AC while these temperatures are comfortable, right? This is the time we're usually trying to save some money on that electric bill, and we're not able to because we're keeping the AC on and windows closed to keep that stuff out. Air purifiers are good too, filters too, just different ways to help yourself. But of course, try to stay inside and limit wild activity, right? I'm not going out there and biking and hiking. I am staying put and staying inside because it is affecting me too. I walk outside and I get a massive headache. Unfortunately, we are still in an active air quality alert through at least noon today. Unfortunately, I do think it's going to linger here to some capacity through the entire weekend. Hopefully not unhealthy levels. Hopefully it'll be thinning out as we go through the afternoon and into tomorrow. But the high pressure system that brought it here isn't moving. That's why we're in this dry stretch. So I do think a lot of it is going to kind of stick around. Right now it is worse further north and west in the state. It is starting to ease up to decent moderate levels in towards the lakeshore of Lake Michigan, Milwaukee, and Madison. You're seeing some relief there. So hopefully that'll continue to lift north. But again, keep in mind parts could start to spike as we go into the weekend still. High pressure keeps us nice and dry. Mid to upper 70s today, upper 70s tomorrow, and into the rest of the weekend. We turn a little bit more muggy next week, and the rain holds off until at least Monday night far north and into Tuesday for the rest of us.
It is so pleasant temperature-wise. And just so, and again, it's going to be not rainy, so I dropped the top on the Jeep. This would be the best time of year to have, you know, just an open air ride. And we did go for a drive yesterday, and it wasn't the same because of the haze out there. And of course, driving home, the sunset, I mean, they always say you can only look at the sun through, like, you know, smoked glass or something like that.
Yeah.
The smoke was so thick, it essentially served as that. Now, again, don't stare right at the sun, kids, but I mean, you could never see a sunset that quote unquote clear, but that, you know, brilliantly pink as through the smoke that we've had here. It was Star Wars-esque, essentially. Yeah. It was like being in a science fiction movie. It really has been.
So, and that's the positive. The one positive I can find is beautiful sunrise, sunset pictures, but the rest
We get that. Yes. Good morning from Tigerton, says Rob. It's hazy, smoky sunshine and 49 degrees. I mowed 3 yards in rural Tigerton. Despite the smoke, it had a September feel outside. Today, I got a yard to mow and then run some errands. That smoke does really tire you out. When I got home from work, I sat down on my recliner and fell asleep for 2 hours. I totally get that. We had Rick Springfield last segment in our history lesson. When I hear Rick Springfield, I always crank up the radio. I remember going to Pizza Hut with my family. I always played Rick Springfield on the jukebox. and you know, I like the nostalgia posts that go up about Pizza Hut. Pizza Hut in the 80s was as kitschy as it gets, and we loved it. With the fake old-timey feel, the stained glass, the jukebox, you usually had Ms. Pac-Man as a video game to play. It was a definite slice of time back then.
That sounds awesome.
It was awesome. There you go. Rob says, thank you, Pat, for your service at Civic Media. Hope for many more years of service. Also notes that he's been getting migraine headaches in recent days working outside. And Tony on YouTube says, hey, 1990s too. So Pizza Hut stayed kitschy well into the 90s, which is it's true, because I remember they were doing the read a book thing where you'd get the coupons for Pizza Hut if you read so many books. And our daughters would bring those home all the time.
Yeah.
So we're like, oh, look, we're having pizza again. Okay. now I kind of miss it, you know. Let's see. From Tom in Hartford on the text line, I thought I saw a 39-degree reading up by Land O'Lakes.
I was just going to say, when Rob called out the 49 degree, I was like, oh, I forgot to say 39 degrees in Kings right now.
Wow. What?
Yep. I was warning for the cranberry marshes about frost because, you know, the marshes are cooler. They're lower. Yeah. They're likely getting some frost this morning.
Oh, my goodness. All right.
I know.
Brittany, we appreciate the update. I hope you have a good weekend.
Thanks. You too.
All right. Stay away from those headaches. There are a lot of fairs and festivals going on this weekend. There is, of course, the Wisconsin State Fair, which got started yesterday in West Allis. There is the Head of the Lakes Fair in Superior, the Jackson County Fair in Black River Falls. Now, that's the one Selena Heller will certainly be at. That's her hometown county fair, where she talks about the Combine Demolition Derby. Yes, where people take combines off of farms, not new ones, and smash them into each other. It's big fun to watch. I saw the video of it. Wisconsin Valley Fair in Wausau runs through tomorrow. The rest of these run through Sunday. The Iron County Fair up in Saxon, the Ozaukee County Fair in Cedarburg, Buffalo Pepin County Fair in Mondovi, the Green Lake County Fair in Green Lake, and the Winnebago County Fair in Oshkosh. There's no shortage either of some of the more, shall we say, community festivals that are going on out there. And you can head over to travelwisconsin.com, and you can just simply put in a date range, and up will come things like, well, today is the Bonduel Lions Club Corn Roast. Tonight is the Downtown Beloit Street Dance. There's Blues on the Chippewa. That's underway in Durand. Jack Pine Savage Days in Spooner. There's a Saluting Our Heroes Balloon Rally in Rhinelander this weekend. Brat Days in Sheboygan. There's Goat Fest in Jefferson. That one intrigues me. Tomorrow, National Mustard Day is celebrated in Middleton, home of the Mustard Museum that's out there. And, I mean, just so much. Oh, here's one. Wisconsin IPA Fest in Milwaukee, it says here, is tomorrow. Parker, you know the best way to handle an IPA when it's been served to you, right?
Drink it quickly.
No, you pour it right down into the drain. That's exactly how you handle an IPA.
I know. Yeah.
Sacrilege. I get people mad every time when that comes up.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on the IPA.
They're all more hoppy than a zoo full of kangaroos. They're just...
Yeah.
You have to really like what you like for that.
Yeah.
But it depends on your palate. Look, I think scotch tastes like gasoline. I've sipped what people say is the finest scotch out there. And I'm pretty sure I would get more miles per gallon in the Jeep. But, you know, bourbon, which is not that much different, you can taste that. So beer drinkers as well. People like what they like.
Yeah. And I like beer.
If you like an IPA, well, there you go. There's the festival for you coming up. The Brewers were off yesterday. They are headed toward Washington, D.C. They're there now for a series against the Washington Nationals, and they are still on top of the National League Central Division by a game over the Cubs. Are you working Madison Mallard games this weekend?
Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Oh, go look at them there.
Yes, sir. All right. Better not be smoky tonight.
No, I got bad news for you. Sorry about that. This from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Lawrence Andrea, has an article about Congressman Brian Stile holding an in-person town hall. So you got to give him a little credit for that. But he was met with consistent booing last night as scores of attendees jeered the Janesville Republican over his support for President Donald Trump's policies. Stile, it says in the newspaper article here, struggled to get through answers from a crowd of more than 250 people gathered in the Elkhorn Area High School auditorium. Many interjected with yells of disagreement over everything from border security to tariffs to Trump's recently signed mega bill. It was the first in-person town hall for any Wisconsin Republican since House Republican leadership in March advised members to avoid in-person events. It was Stile's first in-person session since January. Stile, in the article it says here from Lawrence Andrea, backed Trump's efforts on immigration. He defended the administration's dismantling of the Department of Education, and he stood by Trump's use of tariffs. He mentioned the national debt as a challenge facing the country, and one attendee yelled, "Thanks to you." And that, to me, I mean, it negates any goodwill that Congressman Stile did by having an in-person town hall. I mean, you know, there's expressions I could use, but I can't use on the radio. But don't tell somebody that the national debt is a problem when you just voted to make it $4 trillion worse. A local update is next for some of you and our Week in Review panel coming up here. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Falls Radio, WXCO.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Baby bald eagles near the Great Lakes are testing positive for PFAS and other toxic chemicals. Researchers found that eagles living near the Great Lakes had 6 times more toxic chemicals in their bloodstreams than inland populations. Other chemicals found in the baby eagles' bloodstreams were DDT and PCBs, which were banned decades ago. A small Wisconsin school district just got some big clean energy bragging rights. The Elva Strum School District in Trempealeau County unveiled 184 ground mount solar panels that will deliver about 20% of the district's energy needs and will be a living classroom for students to learn about solar energy and energy data. The installation cost $150,000 and will pay for itself through energy bill savings in about 8 years. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into Wisconsin's environmental issues, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
NFL Hall of Famer, College Football Hall of Famer, Mr. Joe Thomas. You were telling us a little bit about being drafted number 3. You skipped the draft.
I went fishing that day, and I never did it for anything other than I just much rather spend the day fishing with my dad, and I'm hoping that that's a story that keeps being told and gives people a reason. Like, you know what, instead of working today, I'm going to go fishing with my kid. I'm going to make the time because it's impactful. It's memories that they're going to remember for the rest of their life.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning. It is Friday, August the 1st of 2025. The time is 7:23. Hopefully it's not been a tricky day up to this point, but it could be a tricky day if you're somebody who's affected by the air quality. Once again today, the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources has issued an air quality advisory for the entirety of the 98.9 WXCO listening area. In fact, all of Wisconsin again, the entire state of Wisconsin coming together as one with the air quality advisory going on until noon today. So please again, consider rescheduling or moving all activities inside this morning, or go inside if you have symptoms. And people with asthma, follow your asthma action plan and keep relief medicine handy. And also make sure that if you're somebody with heart disease, symptoms such as palpitations, shortness of breath, or unusual fatigue may indicate a serious problem. If you have any of these, contact your healthcare provider.
And again, otherwise, another very pleasant start, actually. Cool temperatures, very refreshing temperatures. Right now, live from our studios in downtown Wausau, the corner of Washington Street and North 3rd Street. Partly sunny skies, temperature of 50 degrees. I am Chad Holmes, joined by our in-studio engineer, Ian Welsh. Ian, good morning.
Good morning, Chad.
Friday, the first day of August. We have made it through another month. It is now time to start the month of August, start of a weekend. A lot of good stuff to look forward to.
Absolutely. Yeah, the final days of the Wisconsin Valley Fair happening.
That is true.
This weekend, the Central Wisconsin Area a Community Theater is finishing up their shows for Romeo and Juliet this weekend. I'm trying to think. And there are some other.
Well, we are very happy to be supporting South Beach Up North 2025.
That's right.
It is Wausau's 19th annual Chamber Music Festival, and you have free chances. Again, this is a wonderful, wonderful thing.
Yeah.
Wausau area native Michael Andrews is coming back here to Central Wisconsin. He's based in South Florida. That's why they call it South Beach Up North. He has a group, the South Beach Chamber Ensemble, down in South Florida. But he comes back here, as we heard earlier this week on Tuesday, talking about the fact that he comes up here for a couple of months. Number one,
yeah.
It gets very hot and humid down in Florida during the summer. But also, he wants to bring back something here, and he does that with these concerts. And they have concerts 2 this weekend and 3 more next week. And again, we will be joined by Michael Andrews early next week on Tuesday, I believe, and actually Wednesday. It'll be Wednesday to talk about 3 more shows that are going on next week. But here in Wausau, you have an opportunity to see shows both on Saturday and Sunday, and again for free, and wonderful, wonderful chamber music. Saturday at 6 p.m., it is Mozart on the Move. It's at the First UU Church in Wausau. It also features a student string quartet, students from Central Wisconsin.
Nice.
Again, that is at 6 p.m. on Saturday, First UU Church in Wausau. And on Sunday at the Wausau Conservatory of Music at 2 p.m., from Spain and Cuba, Arriaga and Orban string quartets, 2 outstanding opportunities, different shows. So you can go on Saturday at 6, see one production, and then on Sunday at 2, a different production here in Wausau, South Beach Up North 2025. And then next week we'll talk about the shows Thursday, Friday, and Sunday of next week. Another show here in Wausau Thursday of next week on August 7th at the Woodson Art Museum, 6 p.m., Hayden Shostakovich. Ooh. And I probably completely missed that name, but we will make sure that
effort,
Michael Andrews gets it right when he comes in next week. But Hayden Shostakovich and Shamanad Piano Trios, again, Woodson Art Museum on Thursday at 6. And the same production featuring the piano trios will go up to Minocqua on Friday and then Marshfield on Sunday. So, again, he takes this on the road, but the first 3 of the productions are here in Wausau Saturday, Sunday this weekend, and Thursday of next week. And, again, we'll get more from Michael Andrews when he pays a return visit coming up on Wednesday of next week. In fact, next week we have some very interesting guest coming in.
Nice.
Coming up on Monday morning, we're going to be talking about, I think, another, and again, we try to have a mixture of discussions. We'll talk about the things that get under my skin and get me moving, you know, politically. But at the same time, we also like to bring in folks that are doing some good things. And on August the 15th, there's going to be a back-to-school bash at the Athens Elementary School parking lot. And it's about raising items, so there are free items given to families in need for the start of the new school year.
Mm-hmm.
And if there's a chance, if you're a family that needs some items for the new school year, it's a chance to go and stock up. And also it's a chance for those who have the ability to maybe donate to do that as well. So Alicia Hoffman, who is running this event, will be joining us on Monday of next week to talk about it. We mentioned this scholarship fundraiser as well at Wausau East. That's raising money in honor of a former teacher who passed away after a battle with cancer last year. And one of her co-workers, a Phi Ed teacher and coach at Wausau East, is raising money for a scholarship to a student at Wausau East whose family is fighting cancer. So we'll hear about that on Tuesday of next week as well. And then we'll have Michael Andrews on Wednesday. We'll have Nancy Stencil Thursday. So a full week coming up next week.
You'll be busy.
The time is 7:30. More to come here on 98.9 WXCO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio, Wausau's home for Matt Nair on Air.
As Wisconsin has a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Flavor is on the menu at Wisconsin Pork Association's Pork Shop at the Wisconsin State Fair. I'm Stephanie Hoff for the Midwest Farm Report along with you on a Friday. Morgan Warwick is the Program and Marketing Director at the Wisconsin Pork Association. Where can you find the Pork Shop? It's across from the Coliseum and the Wisconsin Products Pavilion. The food stand is serving up butterfly pork chop sandwiches, pork burgers, and America's cut pork chop on a stick. The pork is raised local to the Midwest. Much of it coming from Wisconsin.
A lot of it's coming from the Midwest. So a lot of, you know, some of it's Wisconsin and some of it's from surrounding states as well. And our goal is, you know, hopefully we can eventually do all of that. But we also do have a Wisconsin-raised program that we're promoting here. And so our customers will see QR codes posted around our pork shop and the seating area that will take them to a list of producers and processors that raise Wisconsin pigs and process them here in our state as well.
While you're at the Wisconsin State Fair now through August 10th, you're going to want to make Wisconsin Pork Association's Pork Shop a part of your food stop. Morgan Warwick joining us from the Wisconsin Pork Association. Stick around for more agribusiness news coming your way.
Rural Mutual Insurance is proud to sponsor the event tent at Wisconsin Farm Technology Days, August 5th through the 7th at Clinton Farms in Bear Creek. For nearly a century, Rural Mutual has protected Wisconsin farms and supported rural communities with local insurance agents in every county. Join them at the Rural Mutual Event Center for live music, vendor booths, barbecue demos, and more. They're proud to protect what matters most: your farm, your family, your future. Learn more at ruralmutual.com.
Don't let sick calves get you down and drain your profits. Get your calves up and moving with BioVet's Calf Electrolyte. Our Baselite product contains balanced electrolytes for restoring and maintaining proper fluid levels in scouring calves. Baselite also provides additional energy to support recovery. It's easy to mix, and calves are easy to drink it down to the last drop. Learn more about Baselite at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet.
Wisconsin is ramping up efforts to get more of our farm products onto plates around the world. The Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection has announced the third round of export expansion grants. This supports 7 projects aimed at growing dairy, meat, and crop exports. The grants are part of the Wisconsin Initiative for Agricultural Exports. This is a program launched to boost the state's export numbers by 25%. It's making progress. Wisconsin now ranks 12th in the nation for ag exports. That's up from 13th just a few years ago. With this latest round, we'll be gaining ground toward the top 10. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff. Have a good weekend.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We are going to have more of that smoky haze from those Canadian wildfires here this afternoon. Otherwise, it's going to be mostly sunny with a high in the mid to upper 70s this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We'll drop down into the 50s tomorrow, mostly sunny with a high in the upper 70s to low 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 47.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. If you're looking for honest talk, real stories, and straight-up news that matters to you, tune in to The Rick Smith Show. We're digging into the issues that affect your job, your family, your future. Join me weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network, because your voice deserves to be heard. That's The Rick Smith Show, heard weeknights at 9 right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, the Great Wisconsin State Fair is underway. Join us for Audio Sorbet, your favorite state fair memories. That's all coming up. Join us.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Free Ticket Friday, you can win Brewers tickets. We're having a statewide drawing after several keywords on several shows throughout the day here. This particular show's keyword is fly, as in, you know, a fly ball out to center field, F-L-Y. Text that using the Civic Media app, and you could be in the running for 4 Brewers tickets to next Friday night's game, Brewers versus the Mets. You have to be able to receive electronic tickets on your phone and use them. If so, use that Civic Media app and text us the word fly. Continuing with former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, Mark Jacob, Jennifer Schulze, all here as part of our Week in Review. There are stories that I just know would be different if there was an R next to it or a D next to it instead of an R. One of the most egregious ones, Jim, Justice Department dismisses case against a Trump donor. In early April, Donald Trump's White House, according to MSNBC, fired a career federal prosecutor in California because a right-wing influencer told the president that he should. Nearly 4 months later, Trump's Justice Department has dropped a case against the restaurant group Fat Brands and its chairman Andy Wiederhorn, which was the case the prosecutor was working on at the time of his ouster. He happens to be a 5-figure donor to the Trump campaign. I don't know, coincidence or not. It is tough to give this Justice Department the benefit of the doubt in making decisions on Trump donors, Jim.
And because they act this way, we shouldn't give them any benefit of the doubt here at all. This is yet another illustration, both the termination of a civil servant, let's not forget that, who's doing his job in prosecuting cases, and also the erasure, this complete busting down of any wall that previously existed, even to some extent in Trump one term, between the White House and the Department of Justice. You do not want a president, for precisely these reasons, picking up the phone and calling people at Maine Justice and saying, I want this person prosecuted, I want this case suspended, I want this to stop. This is another example of that. And it not only undermines the basic focus of the Department of Justice, it produces situations where justice is not being accomplished criminally, civilly, when it comes to the ways in which we enforce our laws. If a president of the United States of America can now, as he is doing, use the Department of Justice to reward his friends, punish his enemies, that's not a Department of Justice, the only agency that has its name and aspiration. That is something else not working for us. It's another example of the diminution of that relationship between the White House and the appropriate relationship with people and the Department of Justice. And more of that to come, certainly in the next 3.5 years.
So moving that from the Department of Justice, Mark, to the newsrooms, Andy Wiederhorn is this guy's name. You can look up his public support. We've seen the pardons that Trump has given to people who have been supporters or donors. I feel like the American public should know the name of Andy Wiederhorn as well as they know Hunter Biden's name, because this and all these are such naked corruption. And yet, again, I feel like the news stories they would do if there were a Democrat in the White House are not. There seems to be a reason why I'm only seeing this on MSNBC's website.
Well, to me, the most alarming thing is that this has become normalized in the news media. You know, it's like, well, all right, so Trump rewarded one of his friends with a pardon, or ordered the dropping of an investigation or of charges. I mean, the Eric Adams thing in New York City is like a gigantic scandal. If that had happened in a Democratic administration, you know, if you had killed an investigation or killed after an indictment, if you had decided to drop the case because just to help for someone to help you on some sort of policy matter, that would have been an enormous scandal. And so I think that the corruption, Trump's corruption, is so obvious to the news media that they've decided it's normal. And the lack of this kind of maintained outrage about things like that is one of the things that's really kind of causing us to slide into fascism. It's just, when you start tolerating those things, the people get away with it more and more, and the public just kind of, you know, turns off.
Jennifer, the way that we've normalized it, it also deals with framing things under Trump's actions. All right, here's the Associated Press headline. President Trump calls GOP Senator Josh Hawley second tier after a bill to ban stock trades in government advances. So the story is about, you know, Trump criticizing a Republican senator rather than Trump is standing in the way of a popular bill to stop members of Congress from gambling on Wall Street. But we frame it as Trump going on offense against a fellow Republican. That's not the greater issue here.
Well, the media generally has made a mistake covering every aspect of Trump from the start, right? So that's no surprise. I do think a big part of the problem is that there is a media outrage machine only on one side of the aisle, and it is huge. And I would argue it sets the agenda for what the news media covers and how outraged people are, how continuous the coverage is, you know, and when stories live and die in the regular media, it's because mostly, I think, of how right-wing media covers it. If right-wing media wants to get crazy, for example, about the Sydney Sweeney ad and make up a story about that so that they don't have to talk about Epstein, that will work its way into regular media. They set the agenda, and it's really unfortunate because what they want to talk about and what they don't want to talk about is mostly what's breaking through to America, I think.
You reposted something from The Atlantic, and the headline there was Republicans want to redraw America's political map. And we spoke in our last hour with Matt Henney from Courier, Texas, about the legislature, you know, once again gerrymandering the Texas map. And you posted it with this alternative headline, Republicans want to seize power and never give it up. That seems to me a bit more honest than Republicans want to redraw America's political map. Redrawing a map does not sound nearly as nefarious as this actually would be.
Well, and part of the problem, too, is that gerrymandering, I know you guys know it well in Wisconsin, and it's talked about a lot there, but it's not really a hot topic in a lot of the country. And I get to guess most people don't know what it means, and they surely don't know the impacts of it. So that's a story that's a five-alarm fire, what's happening in Texas with the map and the impact on the whole country. And I think there's a lot more work to be done on that to make sure that people are aware of what it means and how it could impact so many things. And so, yeah, when I saw that Atlantic headline, the story itself explains what's going on in Texas, but it's bigger than that. And so it's kind of like, you know, oh, blah, blah, blah. No, this is could be a national problem, like what just happened in El Salvador. They just voted to basically make a president for life. Well, I kind of feel like we are heading in that direction.
It definitely has that feel to it, especially when you see how this wasn't even on Texas legislators' radar initially, and certainly not to this level till Trump said, do this, and they immediately fell into line. Jim, we talked in the last hour about this. I mean, Democratic lawmakers, you know, could walk out. They could, you know, flee the state again, but it only delays the inevitable. Where are we from the standpoint of challenging such obvious political corruption in our maps? Are they feeling that good about where the court system is these days that they can draw a map this bad?
They shouldn't be, because you do have both state courts and federal courts who are looking at these kinds of things and addressing whether or not there is, again, inappropriate racial gerrymandering. We know political gerrymandering is no longer on the agenda of the federal courts. That's as a result of the Supreme Court a number of years ago. But courts are still looking at these things. Interestingly, you may recall just in this past term, the Supreme Court, in a case coming out of Louisiana, decided not to decide and bumped that one into the coming term. That's a very interesting case to take a look at come the fall and into next year to determine whether or not the basis, the purpose for redrawing Louisiana lines was racially motivated. It has to do with a number of Black predominant majority districts in that state. The courts are still wrestling with this. The other thing I would offer is, you know, as we've talked before so many times, state legislatures, the federal legislature can, if it wants, and yes, I know we've got to have the numbers to do it, do oversight of these things. Let's have some inquiries on Capitol Hill and here in the state of Wisconsin, in Madison, addressing these issues. What is going on? It should be geared ultimately towards some legislative purpose, but it can simply be informative and describing for the legislators what is happening among their constituents. Those kinds of things should be moving ahead. Obviously, in the present Congress, we don't have that because the majority, maybe when the 120th Congress is sworn in early January of 2027, there will be a movement to get more oversight on all of this.
Perhaps. A lot of this serves as a distraction from the economic turmoil out there. And I say that because the new jobless figures just came out for the month of July, and anemic doesn't begin to describe it. Non-farm payroll for July up only 73,000 jobs. That is, again, like we were saying yesterday with Sean O'Malley, it's not a recession. But don't give Donald Trump credit for us not being in a recession and for only taking us to the precipice of one. Mark, you reposted an article about how a newly declassified part of the so-called Durham report shows that Republicans used a Russian manufactured email as evidence, quote unquote, that Hillary Clinton conspired with Russia. I mean, again, this should be a blockbuster headline that Republicans either enabled themselves to be duped or willingly used false information. I haven't read this enough to know which one it is, but neither one is a good look.
No, and isn't it interesting that we're just finding out about this now?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the Durham report, you know, was years ago. And it's all part of the attempt by the right wing to pretend that the Russian involvement never happened. You know, I mean, their ability or their attempt at least to erase history, you know, to just completely rewrite the facts is amazing. It's very Soviet. I mean, it's very much, you know, kind of it's Orwellian, really, you know, to let's pretend something didn't happen, because, you know, that meeting at Trump Tower with the Russians did happen. We know it happened. A lot of Russian officials were indicted by Mueller after his investigation. I mean, we know there was involvement there, and for this Trump to say Russia, 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 and that's just code for the right wing thinking that the whole thing was made up, when we know it wasn't made up. It wasn't, and for them to try to erase history is really scary, because if they can do that, they can erase everything. I mean, the as a journalist, the assault on facts is the scariest thing to me. The fact that because if you don't have a shared set of facts in a society, you can't have a functioning democracy. You just can't. And their assault on things that are demonstrably true is frightening.
It comes back to, again, Daniel Patrick Moynihan, and maybe he was or wasn't the first one to say, you are entitled to your opinion, but you are not entitled to your own facts. And that is not the world we live in anymore. I mean, facts are still facts, but there are some people that feel like they have their own facts. And if they just say them enough, enough people will believe them to keep them in power. A local update is coming up next for some of you. For the rest, whether you're watching us on Facebook or YouTube or the Civic Media app, we're going to continue yapping here for a few minutes more with a Week in Review panel. And then we'll all be back together here at 8:05. And at that point, we are going to be talking to Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez about her run for governor. It's been 8 days now since Governor Tony Evers announced he would not be running for a third term. Sarah Rodriguez is the first Democrat to announce, and we're going to learn all about that coming up right after the 8 o'clock news here on these mornings, powered by Up North News, live from Lake Wissota on the Civic Media Radio Network.
as Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Americans really like voting by mail and in-person early voting. That, according to 2024 statistics from the U.S. Election Assistance Commission. According to EAC, 158,211,780 citizens voted out of 211,144,275 active registered voters, a 74.8% turnout, 3 points lower than 2020. Among the 158 million voters, 52.8 million voted in person on Election Day. But far more Americans voted early, with 46.8 million voting early by mail and almost 48.9 million voting early in person. Mail-in voting accounted for 30.3% of votes cast, with some states offering universal mail balloting or permanent mail or absentee lists. Over 15 million ballots were returned via drop boxes in 36 states, up 10% since 2022. The percentage of in-person Election Day voters dropped in 2024 to only 37.4%, while in-person early voting jumped to 35.2%. The combination of mail and early in-person totaled 65.5%. It's clear that early voting is here to stay. We've linked to the report at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal. Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Frank Anderson, who is the founder of Wisconsinology.com. You were great in the documentary. That's really exciting.
I'm really not as a documentary filmmaker because I get bored so quick. You have to really dig into your subject, and you got to show up every day, sometimes for years.
Yeah.
To let a story unfold or to find a story. I'm good for one day.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I've got a pocket full of holes. Head in the clouds, the king of fools. You've got a sun in your eyes, running through. Could be I'm happy, I'm sad. Could be I'm losing my head over you. Well, you gotta be crazy, baby.
And welcome back. It is the WXCO Morning Report, part of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. On 98.9 WXCO, online at WXCO.fm, mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. Up a few degrees, we are now at 54 degrees under sunny skies here in downtown Wausau. The time is 7:53 on this Friday morning. Real quickly, Milwaukee Brewers were off yesterday on the field, but they were also busy in terms of making some deals on the final day before the trade deadline. Of course, the Brewers lead the Chicago Cubs by one game in the National League Central. The Brewers made a deal with the San Diego Padres. The Brewers sent pitcher Nestor Cortez, infielder Jorge Quintana, and cash to the Padres for outfielder Brandon Lockridge. Milwaukee also made a big deal with Arizona. They acquired two pitchers, Shelby Miller and Jordan Montgomery, for a player to be named later, and cash. So Brewers trying to make a little bit of noise here and try to work their way back, give themselves a little bit better of an opportunity when they get back to action tonight, taking on the Washington Nationals on the road.
Nice.
Also, best of luck to the Wausau Post 10 American Legion softball team. They open up play in the state tournament this morning at 10 a.m., that tournament being held in Merrill. Also, the Legion State Baseball Tournament is going on in Stevens Point. A couple teams from the central Wisconsin area were involved early, as D.C. Everest, they were eliminated early. In the Class A tournament, that does begin today in Westby. A couple of central Wisconsin teams in action. Wittenberg is taking on Stratford at 10 a.m. So, again, the baseball aspect with the Legion is coming towards an end as we count down towards the start of high school sports in 3 weeks' time with high school football. So that's a little bit of a look at some of the sports going on. Of course, the Wausau Woodchucks are still in action. They were victorious. They are in a close battle, currently in first place in their division as they get closer and closer to the playoffs. They had a big win last night against Green Bay, 10-9 at Athletic Park. And the thing is, if you've gone to a Woodchuck game at Athletic Park recently, you have not seen the Woodchucks lose. The Woodchucks have been winning a lot of games at home. In fact, they have won 15 games in a row at Athletic Park.
Oh, wow.
So you talk about fun at the old ballpark. You're having fun because, number one, you're going out there having fun, having great ballpark food, having the games that they play at Athletic Park.
Right.
But also, they're winning 15 games in a row, and now they are two games ahead of Madison for the second half championship in the Great Lakes West. The Chucks do need to win that second half title in order to get a playoff spot. So they are in good shape as they head down to the final few games of the regular season.
Keep it up, Woodchucks.
And we talked about things that you can do this weekend, and one of the things you can do tonight is head to Athletic Park. The Woodchucks back home tonight, again, taking on Green Bay. So, again, lots of things you can be doing here in central Wisconsin on a Friday.
It's never boring in the summertime in the Wausau area, for sure.
Exactly. Have you been to the Wisconsin Valley Fair at all? I have not, because, frankly, I'm going to be totally transparent here. I just don't really have a need to go. The only time I've gone to the fair in the last 20 years was last year when we were out there. otherwise, if I have not had to, and again, lots of folks have a lot of fun, but for me, it just you pay for the park, you pay to get in, pay for everything else. I don't do it. But again, not to say anybody who has a lot of fun, hey, go for it. But have you gone to the fair this year?
I know my family and I have usually gone to the fair, probably not every year, but every other year. We usually have a lot of fun enjoying the good food and the great music and entertainment. Don't worry, I do much of the games and prizes because I think I tried a few of those games last year. I did not get my money's worth out of that, so.
Right. I mean, the food is great. And that was probably the best part going last year.
But it is delicious.
No, you can deal with it for a few days. And that was the best part last year when we were hanging out there.
The fair only comes around once a year. I mean, there's no harm in indulging yourself as long as you don't do it like constantly.
Don't make it a habit.
No, don't make it a habit.
Don't definitely make this not your normal menu after going to the fair for a few days here during the course of the during the fourth of this week. So you're exactly right. Did you have a rehearsal last night?
Did not have rehearsal last night. However, we do have a bonus rehearsal tonight. And tonight's a big one because it's our first full run through of the entire show. So
well, that is a big
working
one.
Out the the pacing of everything, and I'm trying to figure out the timing of the show and how long it'll be, because it's Well, I did mention this before. It's not a long show. It's actually one of Shakespeare's shortest works he's ever written, but not to say it won't be like a, I'd say like a medium length. Hopefully it'll be under 2 hours, but you never know. It's all about the pacing and how we get our lines out. So
coming up at 8:22, we'll be back. We'll be talking a bit about Obamacare because it's something that's affected me and I know a lot of other people in the area. And part of the big, beautiful bill could be a big hike in Obamacare premiums. And we'll talk about the GOP perhaps doing something about that. But coming up next, an information update. Job numbers are in for July. Not great. That's coming up here on WXCO.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO, 1230 AM, W255DN, Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News special report. We've gotten a brand new read on the jobs market, and it is slowing down to a crawl. The Commerce Department says employees added just 73,000 positions in July. 73,000, even less than the 100 to 120,000 many analysts were expecting. It compares to 147,000 jobs added in June. Most gains were in health care, social assistance, with losses in federal government positions. There are standouts. Economist Diane Swonk.
The only outlier has been in the tech sector, where they are doing layoffs, but the war on AI talent has caused a bidding war where, you know, some people are getting a lot of money that is pushing up wages in that one sector very rapidly.
Unemployment for July up to 4.2% from 4.1% in June. Again, jobs added last month, just 73,000. CBS News special report. I'm